What's the farthest you've ever gone?
Indonesia.
Arizona. I think they win with Indonesia. Sorry, Mal. Japan. What? Ooh. I don't know which one is farther away. Zoom friends, what do you have? Dubai. Ethiopia. Bon Air. My goodness. You people are well traveled. I love it. So here's the reason why we're asking. Today we are going to tell a story of a trip. A story of one family's trip. And they're going to tell that story. And we're excited to hear about that. But just a couple of things before they come up. We're going to start a new series today called This Is My Story. Actually, it's not new. It is a remix from last summer. We spent much of last summer telling stories, letting you all tell stories, so that we could learn from each other and learn more about each other. And also so that we could pay attention to what God is doing in and through each one of us. These stories that we heard inspired us to look at our own stories and pay attention to what God was doing in our lives as well. So Chris and Bethany are on a well-deserved vacation, and of course that's why we're having technical problems, because that always happens. So I get to kick off this series, and I am super thrilled to be able to do so. The idea for this is grounded in Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6, where Paul writes this to the church in Philippi. He says, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue that work until it is finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Friends, God has begun a good work within each of us. The God of the incredibly creative universe, with all the amazing details that we've learned about in the last few weeks, that God is present and active within you. Let me say that one more time. The God of the cosmos is present and active within you. As I sit with that thought, I am overwhelmed in the best kind of way. But God doesn't stop there. The work that God has begun in you and in me will continue until it is finished. We don't always know what that work being finished looks like, but God promises that it will be finished. This is hope, friends. I can easily get stuck thinking about the brokenness of our world. Living through a pandemic that has far-reaching effects is no joke. And add to that the current awakening, largely of white people, to the effects of racism on our sisters and brothers of color. Ways that we have long ignored and even benefited from. It all feels heavy. And so it's easy to think that there's nothing we can do about it. But these words in Philippians remind us of God's promise. That God has begun a good work. Not just in some realm where we can't see, but in and through you, and in and through me. This is what God does. God has set in motion a plan of redemption and of restoration. It's the story of the whole Bible, of renewing all things, so that good creation of Genesis 1, that wholeness and flourishing of all creation, of shalom, will be fully realized. That promise is for you, for each one of us gathered over screens or sitting on the lawn, and every single person we meet, and all of creation. We are living in the middle of that story. But more than that, we are participants in the story of God's redemption and renewal. A good work has begun, And so for the next 4 weeks, we will draw attention to that good work. And that's why we're bringing this series back. Each week, someone in the branch is going to share a part of their story. We're doing this for a couple of reasons. Number one, we know that stories help us look at our own story with fresh eyes. It might seem a little counterintuitive, right? But when I hear you speak, it jars something in my own memory. It helps me wonder if God is at work in my life in a similar way. And it challenges me to look for God in new ways. We also wanted to be able to deepen the sense of community here at the branch. This is hard right now, friends, over screens and distant apart. It is hard to foster community. So it's our hope that by this series, we can do that in some small way, that we'll get to know people a little bit better. We'll hear their stories. We'll hear about their hearts. And hopefully we'll be encouraged in our own faith journey. So today, I get the pleasure of helping Audrey, Kira, and Mindy Frang tell us about a trip they took last summer to Uganda. So they're going to come up and join me up here. I'm actually going to go off the screen. Sorry, Zoom friends. But you want to look at the Frangs and you want to listen to them, I promise. Oh, I'm going right into the sun. First of all, thank you for being the ones to kick off our series part two, for being brave enough to sit up front of people and over screens and tell your story. You're hooked on cords. Yeah.
I'm feeling very trapped.
It's fine. You're going to be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. All right. So a little bit of background. Let's start. Why did you go to Uganda? Why? How did this all start?
I think for me, for Kevin and I,
it's sad. All right. Then we are going to swap a microphone. So Andy, we're going to use Madison's microphone. Friends on Zoom, we are recording this, I promise. Right, Zach? We are recording this.
Does this one work?
How about now, friends on Zoom? Can you hear?
Hello?
Yes. Yeah. All right. Awesome. All is well. Okay. I also need a new battery because that's the day we're having. So, Audrey, could you tell us a little bit about what you did while you were in Uganda?
Yeah, we started with a lot of flights. We got there and we took a bus for 8 hours to get to our hotel. And the first day we went to a literacy graduation. And so all the mamas that had graduated their classes, we just like celebrated them and danced and just had fun with them. And then most of the other days we did empowerment days. So we went and we washed their feet and we painted their nails. And again, we just danced with them and we just smiled and had fun. But, and then we also did village day. So you went to the village that you, that your mama's from, and you just got to see like their daily life, like how they lived and what they did. And then at the end, we went on a safari just for fun, just to see all the beauty and stuff like that. So, yeah.
And the pool day?
Oh, yeah. And we had a birthday party for all the little kids, because most of them don't really know when their birthday is. Mm. So we kind of just celebrated all of them at once.
It's really beautiful. So a lot of dancing, a lot of celebration.
Yeah.
And investing in people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. What? Super fun. Good now? Better? Okay. All right. So as we were talking about what to talk about here this morning, this trip was a year ago, right? This was not super recent. So you've had a lot of time in between that trip and now. So the memories that you had last summer are probably not the same stories you're going to tell today. So there's some real beauty in having that that time. So I'm curious, what are your memories now? What stands out to you? Kira, you're going to go first?
Yeah. The memory I remember most, and it's usually like what I tell when my friends ask me about it, but like Audrey said, we went to a village day where we got to spend time with the mom that we sponsor and a lot of her friends and like her close family almost, like they're all very close. And I remember we were touring one of the mom's houses and she gave us this potato-like thing. I don't remember what it was called, but she like made it for us and prepared it and then gave it to us. And I remember trying it and I did not like it. Like it was not good. But I ate like half of it anyways. And then I took the rest and I like broke it into little pieces and I gave it to these kids that were sitting right near me. And that's kind of what attached them to me for the rest of the day. And so I just got to like spend time with them and hang out with them. And we like played tag for a little bit and they were super sweet. And one of them just kind of sat and laid in my lap for a really long time. And he was not a baby, but but yeah, I looked kind of funny carrying him around everywhere. But it was really nice to like be able to love on them, because a little bit later, like halfway through the day, I was told that their mom had died a few months before we got there and that their dad is just not in the picture. Like, it's just a really tough home life. And so their 14-year-old sister actually raises all six of them. So that was really like empowering to me, because I'm the oldest too and I have a lot of younger siblings. And so like just thinking about raising all of them is crazy to me. So it was really cool to like see the strength that she has to go through to raise these kids. And it also was really cool to like be able to give them the love that like they may have been lacking in their day-to-day life. And so, yeah, that was probably my most meaningful memory.
It's beautiful.
Mine's pretty simple, but we would go to the like places that we were celebrating in a bus, and there were a ton of kids that went on the trip, and the mamas would pick the kids up off the bus and carry them and just dance with them. So it was pretty awesome.
So I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but as you keep talking about dancing, is there, like, why is there so much dancing? Does somebody have a quick answer to that? Why do you think that's such a part of their culture?
I don't know. It's just joy, I guess. Yeah. Like, it just, they're so grateful, and it's just like how they express their love.
Mm. Beautiful. Thank you. Sorry, I did that on the fly. I did not warn you of that. That just happened.
Say it again.
Joy, and it's just like how they express their love.
Love it. That was me, not you. They heard you. They can't hear me because fun. All right. So a year later and a lot of reflection later, I'm sure. How did you see God at work, both in the Ugandan people and in yourself?
I saw God at work just like pretty much with how they danced and how grateful they were. That was just really powerful to me, because they dance like nobody's watching. Like, they,
yeah, they do.
Don't care. They give it all they've got, and they tried to teach me, and I was not very good at it, but, you know, we still tried.
They love to laugh at us dancing. It's like their favorite thing.
But so that was how I just saw God at work, because they don't have the same opportunities that we do, yet they do so much more than we do, and they're so much more grateful.
All right, I saw God's work in myself, because if you know me, you know I'm obviously an introvert, and I was really worried going into the trip that it was going to be too much time, like, just pouring myself into other people, and I wasn't going to have time to, like, recharge myself. And so that was, like, a big concern for me, like, just on the flight there and, like, the weeks leading up. But, like, once we got there, like, I completely forgot I was worried. Like, there was not a single time where I felt exhausted from pouring into these people. Like, it just was so empowering to me. And, like, it just was, I was, like, a completely different person, because, like, I didn't need the time to myself anymore. Like, I just kept going. Like, even though in the States, like, I would not have been able to do that.
Yeah. And I feel like, sorry, that's, like, the first thing Brandy told us, which is the mission leader. She just kind of told us, like, I don't care. Whoa. She just kind of told us, like, I don't care what you're insecure about or what you wouldn't do in the States. Just do it here. Just dance. Like, just go for it.
I will say, watching these two be able to do that was huge. The first day, we do pull up in this bus that broke down multiple times. We have like 15 pictures of us pushing the bus across the hot desert. Like, it was pretty funny. But you pull up and there's like 100, maybe 200 women chanting. I mean, there's a chant and a dance and a joy that you just can't even explain. But they're literally waiting for you as you come off the bus, and they are legit going to pick you up and carry you. It does not matter that it's 100 degrees. It doesn't matter that everyone's dripping in sweat, slightly stinky. Like, I mean, and it really, I was anxious the first time pulling up. I'm not a very anxious person. I'm not introverted, right? But to see them get off the bus and be like, all right, here we go. We're going with this, right? And to watch them be carried and to dance and to embrace that. It's not a moment that you get much, I don't think, as an adult watching your kid embrace being something that feels awkward to them. And just seeing that was really pretty amazing. So the first day that we were there, it rained, which is not super common at the literacy graduation. And the mom is just jumped out of her seats and started dancing in the rain. And it was literally like, you know, people say dance in the rain, right? It's how you get through it. But
they were legit dripping, and these guys jumped up and started dancing with them. And just that, like, moment that I was like, all right, we can do this. Like, we're going to make it. Like, we're going to learn something. And so trying to see it through their eyes, but then also to experience it through me. There were a lot of times where it felt overwhelming. So,
yeah. Yeah. Mama's heart watching your daughters break out of their shell and out of comfort zones. And for the two of you, like, you have, was this your first travel trip abroad? So pretty much all you know is this culture, right? So for the two of you to be willing to instantly embrace that culture, was God at work in you too. And that is really beautiful that you noticed that and you took the opportunity, right? So I know you sent over some pictures. If you are on Zoom, you get the bonus here. You get some pictures. If you are on the lawn and want to log on to Zoom so you can see some pictures, awesome. Zach will admit you. But do not put your Wi-Fi on, please. That will crash the system, so don't. Turn your Wi-Fi off. Log on to Zoom if you want to see pictures. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the pictures that are scrolling through here? Can you see the screen?
Yeah.
Zach, you want to start at the top, and we'll scroll through a little bit. Can you see them?
Here, I'll move this out of your way.
Oh, yeah. This picture is with me and a little girl. And this picture is pretty meaningful to me because I didn't really know the girl when I first sat with her. I just kind of, like, she pulled me aside, and I sat down with her. And then her mom came over, and she was actually one of the moms that benefits from Beauty for Ashes. And she told me that she named her daughter Brandy, which is after the leader of our trip. And so it was really cool to see, like, that relationship in action, like, them thinking so highly of Brandy that they named their own child after her was really cool to me.
What's your next one? We can just scroll through if you don't have something to say about it.
Yeah, this one's pretty simple. This is, we would visit some of the mama's houses just to see how they were doing. And they sat us down and they talked to us and just told us, like, what their plan was. And, yeah, it was just really fun.
So I think a big part of the organization that we learned once we got there is it's all about transformative relationships. And you can't have that without listening. So a lot of the trip was not as much doing, not as much, you know, we weren't building houses for them, but we were listening to their stories and letting them know that they have worth and that it matters. And that was, I think, the biggest part of this. So this was just us sitting around listening to them, talking about the pain that was always quickly followed with the joy in what God has done in their lives. So they didn't dwell in pain. I mean, some of those stories, like, you'd hear them and we were automatically like, oh my goodness, you know, and they're right on. And that, you know, and then God blessed us with a cow, and that, you know, and, like, you're like, oh, awesome, great. Like, I guess we don't stay there. And so that was really cool. So in the back is one of the temporary houses. They would have, like, their little compound would have 5 or 6 of these. Typically, they would last about 6 to 8 years, and then they would have to rebuild them. So their goal was always to get a permanent house, and I think that's maybe what one of the next pictures is. So, like, this, the one in the back, I think might have been just where they slept, and then there was one where they cooked, and then there would sometimes, if they went through our literacy program, they learned that their animals shouldn't be in the same one as the one they're sleeping in. So that a lot of it, the literacy was not only learning to write their names, but it was also learning just hygiene, just basic things that no one ever taught them. The village that we support was ravaged by war, so any of the women between the ages, I would say, of about 25 to 35, 40, like, literally lived in the bushes for a few years. I mean, their entire village was wiped out. So there, I mean, there was zero literacy. There was zero. So they've spent the last about 8 years rebuilding and kind of regrouping and working together. So this was just one of those pictures. I think the next one might be... oh, nope, that's us in the safari. That's one of our favorite buses. This is one of the, you guys can tell this story if you want, but a house as it was being built.
We went and this mama was so amazing. She did not take 1 second to hug us all, squeeze us tight, and hold us to her heart. And she brought us to her house that she'd been building, and she told us that next time we came, we could stay there.
So this is us praying over the bricks.
This is Mama Grace. This is the mom we sponsor.
I think she's pregnant with baby Lindsay there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just another one of the houses that one of the younger kind of go-getters in the community was building, and it was pretty impressive. I think the next one, so this is the progression for her. The next one is her bricks. So we get to see, nope, just kidding. I think it's in there somewhere. You'll see it at one point. But we got to see her, like, the process of literally they're saving enough money and they have these, they can make 2 bricks at a time. And so they were like putting them in this oven thing. And like, so it can take years and years to actually build them. So their patience, their persistence, their reliance on each other was really pretty amazing overall.
So like I said earlier, this was one of the empowerment days. We would sit them down and we would kneel at their feet and we would wash their feet and paint their nails. They would dance. Like I said this, they would dance for us and they made their own little dance routines for us. And it was just really powerful to see how much they prepared for us to come to see them.
This is us dancing in the rain. yeah, this is from the literacy graduation.
There's the bricks.
There's the bricks.
She was so proud of those bricks, you guys. It was so amazing. It was really, that was probably one of the most powerful moments for me. So that's her stack that she's been building up over the past year. And you can see little holes in the bottom, and that's where she would bake new ones. So she could actually bake, I think, 6 at a time, which was super impressive because most of them couldn't do that many. So, and she was probably 20, maybe. Yeah, she was really young, but had a few young kids with her, and she was supporting mom and dad, and neat to see how she, the Beauty for Ashes is for widowed women or single women in Uganda. And part of what, when you sponsor a mom, a lot of the money goes to the school fees for their kids. A lot of it is about just education for the next generation. But it also goes to putting them into, and helping support a co-op. So they would, the villages, as we would call them, were geographic areas, but they were also significant because there were 30 women that had that come together and they would have to meet each week for literacy trainings in order to stay part of the group. And then they would have to take some of their hard-earned money and put it in this pot. And then they could pull loans. They could ask their sisters for loans in order to do things and to create their businesses. They would celebrate their successes together. And so to see, she was one of the youngest and one of the only ones that actually her husband was still around. I'm not quite sure how she got into this group other than she was like carrying them. But so to see them actually, to see the point of the program was not us coming in and fixing things for them, but coming in and helping them create a sustainable community was really pretty cool.
Awesome. So a trip like this is always amazing, and then you have to come home, and that might be the hardest part, right? So what was life once you returned? What changed for you, if anything?
Short-term wise, I actually went to Minnesota to go to Young Life Camp a week after we got back, and that was honestly probably one of the hardest weeks of my life. Like, just going from physically washing people's feet to the one being served 24/7 was so difficult for me because I just felt like I didn't deserve it and like I didn't need to be served. There were so many more people who deserved to be served and who needed to be served more than me. And so that was really, really difficult. And I just remember halfway through the week, my leader just like pulling me aside and being like, God might not need you to be here for you. Like, he might need you to be here for your cabin mates and for the people in your cabin. And so that kind of like helped me get through the week, because it was a lot easier for me to like kind of be the mom. Like, everyone called me their mom just because I needed to be like serving and doing something for other people. Like, I couldn't be like my friends who just wanted to be served for the whole week. So that was really difficult, but it definitely taught me a lot, like just looking back on like some of the things I had to go through and like had to deal with that week. But yeah, so short term, that was really difficult. But then long term, like today, I think it still affects me, just because a lot of my friends don't really have the same outlook on life as I do. Like, they just don't realize how big the world is and how much like my actions can impact the people around me. And so I definitely think the trip helped me be more self-aware that like I don't need to speak the same language, have the same skin color, or even know a person's name to love them fully and like be present with them and give them everything I have.
I'm not gonna lie, I was mad. Like, I got home and I was mad. I was mad at myself. I was mad at God. I didn't understand. And honestly, I'm still struggling with that. I still don't understand why they put their whole selves into worshiping God, but he had to deal them the hand where they're struggling just to get food.
I think for me personally, as soon as I got back, it was a lot of reflection on why we went, right? And what we hoped to get out of it. One of the hardest things was people would ask about the trip, and what they wanted was most of the time about a 1-minute answer. And they wanted to hear, like, did you go on safari? Is Africa cool? Is it pretty? Like, did your kids learn something? Are they real grateful now? Like, and just to be able to take a deep breath and answer in places that felt safe, and in ways that people could understand. I think that's been tricky for us, as we reflect and just on where we're at. I think not really knowing the full organization when we went, but the more we learned about it as we were there, our main goal was to teach these women that they were loved and worth loving, is what we just kept saying over and over and over. And as soon as I returned home and as soon as I started processing that, I realized that you don't have to go to Africa to find people that need to hear that. That is the message that I have to bring back here. That's what God has put on my heart. And so it honestly has changed everything that I've done since then, career-wise, life-wise. Community has always been important to me, but creating spaces that everyone is welcome and that everyone can be free to just not to live in the way that Audrey's talking about, that's so much more, feels so much more authentic and real and deep, is really like what fires me up, what I feel like gives me purpose. And so I think that was probably my biggest takeaway from that, is we all need to know that we're loved and worth loving over and over and over, because we can say it and we can hear it and we don't always fully process it. So whether you live in East Grand Rapids or Sorority, everybody needs to hear it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you for your honesty in that answer, all three of you. I'm not good at not crying when other people are crying, so it's coming. But your willingness to open your hearts and say the things that are true today is admirable, and it is inspirational. So thank you for doing that. And Audrey, it's okay to be mad. Sure is. And Mindy, that message is one we say a lot here, right? You are loved. You all are loved, and you are worthy of being loved. You're absolutely right. It's a message we all need. All right. One more quick question. Maybe quick. Why do you want to go back? Do you want to go back? I guess I should ask.
I actually was supposed to go back this June, but obviously that did not happen. And it got rescheduled to this week, but that clearly did not happen again. But I think I want to go back to see the progress that these moms have made. They are so strong, and it's so inspiring. So my work to raise the money to go seems so little compared to what they've done in just a year. And I really wanted to go back and just see how much their kids have grown and how much they have learned and how maybe one of their houses, permanent houses are done or stuff like that. Just like the little things that I'm so proud of them for, that I just want to see their progress and see how they're doing.
I definitely feel like I'm not done. I don't really know how else to put that. They have a place in my heart, and they always will. And I want to, yes, see their progress, and I just want to give them a big hug. Like, and I always will.
I kind of want to take Kevin back.
Kevin just got called out right here in this moment. So I'm guessing you heard that before. This is probably not new information. Thank you again for sharing your story. It is amazing to hear people talk from the bottom of their hearts. And I think that's something that you learned from those women in Uganda, right? To be authentic and to be you and to be real. Can't dance because you grew up as a white girl in East Grand Rapids. It's fine. So thank you. Can you all help me and say thank you to the Frangs?
Just set it on the stand. Yep.
All right. We don't want to just stop at listening to a story, though. We want to always take the time to say, why does this matter? Why do we listen to somebody else's story? And so I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and we'll give you a second to think about it. But I invite you to think more about this later today, too. What are the things that stuck out about what Kira and Mindy and Audrey said? Was there something that's sticking in your brain? And why? What maybe might God be trying to say to you? And maybe there's something to do. Maybe there's a step to take. Maybe it's a very small step, and maybe it's a trip to Uganda, right? But it doesn't have to be. That's not the point of telling this story. The point is, God is at work in and through each one of us. And God calls us to further work so that we can continue that work of completion, right? So if you're on Zoom, there's a couple of questions on your screen. If you're on the lawn, I just invite you to, as we move next into communion here, I invite you to think about those things.